Well, good morning.
echo.
Yeah. First of all, I won't pressure anybody, but if you want to move more toward the middle and more toward the front, feel free. Maybe you can break the echo in the big open room here. We're glad to see you here. I'm glad you braved the cold. Braved the ice and so forth. I'm glad you're here. Glad some of you were able to join on Zoom. I know that some of you are a distance away and restricted by the fact that not all the roads got touched just yet. So thank you. I'm thankful that we have that opportunity to at least get the word to you, have the opportunity for you to join us at our worship service through Zoom. So let me start with a couple of announcements here, a couple of messages for you. Just a reminder that this afternoon we will have Ken Sears here. He's coming at 4 o'clock. So if you get here a little before that, you'll get to hear him talk about his ministry, his missionary work in Ukraine. He'll have a few pictures, and then we'll have some light refreshments. And you can be home in plenty of time for, there's some kind of a game on this evening as well, so. But I encourage you to come out and just give a listen to Ken Sears, hear his presentation. Because he's coming, we won't be having Bible study tonight, so there's no Bible study this evening. Instead, we'll be hearing Ken Sears. I see that this Saturday already coming up is the ladies' tea, so just put that on your calendar. I don't think there's any kind of a sign-up sheet. They'll just be happy to see you show up, 12 to 2 on Saturday. The ladies' tea. When we had our Super Bowl, we had that soup contest last Saturday. We were saying, when you come, bring some canned goods that we want to donate those canned goods then to LCCM and to Caring Cupboard. And we realized, why limit it to just one day? So we've got the table sitting out there in the lobby. Through the month of February, we want to collect canned goods. So whenever you think about it, bring some cans of soup or some canned goods, just bring them in, put them on the table, and at the end of February then we'll divide them up, and half will go to LCCM and half will go to Caring Cupboard. But I'd like to have a nice full table that we could send to them as our efforts, our donations for this month. And then the last thing that I have here is that today during church, during our worship service, the children are going to be doing a project that they'll have for us at the end of the service. Then when you leave, the children are going to be handing out some Valentine's magnets that you can put up on your refrigerator, and it'll help to remind you to say a prayer for those children during the month of February. So when you leave, make sure you catch one of the children, make sure that they catch you, and they've given you a magnet on your way out, okay? anybody else have anything that I'm forgetting? Yes. Yes.
I was just going to ask for clarification. That football game tonight, who is the NFC representative in that game?
Somebody with a sick green. Okay. It's like the I don't know. I can't remember. No, I'm very happy. Philadelphia Eagles. I'm very happy that we have people within our congregation who can get excited. That this year there was definitely going to be somebody who was going to be happy within this group. So I know we have some rivals. We have some Eagles fans. I know we have some Chiefs. I don't know why, but we have some Chiefs fans. So I know that somebody's going to be very happy. Somebody's already happy. And some of us are just happy we got as far as we got. So, but thanks for pointing that out. I really appreciate it. I know who my friends are. Any other announcements? Any other scheduled important things we need to share with the group? We're just praying that tonight's game, it'll be safe, nobody gets hurt, and that it's a good, entertaining game. All right, so let's shift the focus away from us and shift our focus to the reason we're here, to the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your timing. We thank you for this snow, this ice. We got mostly ice, but you gave it to us overnight while everybody was safely at home, I think, hopefully. I just thank you that you brought out the sunshine, brought some warmer temperatures, allowed us to get here safely this morning. I pray for those who might still be digging out or who are still waiting for their roads to get cleared, and that everyone will be patient, including myself. I know I've got some digging out to do, and we just need to focus on the fact that all of these are just little problems. All these are just a result of our life living under your control, and we love you, Lord, and we love being in a world that's controlled by you, and we got to remember that you are in control, and that's why we're here this morning, Father. It's a reminder as we come together and share our testimony, share our praises, we come together to lift up our praises to you through our prayers, through our songs. And so, Father, I pray here this morning that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that comes from our mouth as we sing, everything that comes from our hearts as we sing, will be to your honor and to your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'll invite you to stand if you're able as we get ready to sing. I'm going to read our call to worship. You guys have to sing twice as loud this morning now and twice as joyfully. So this morning we read, God has ascended and amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna,
Show me how to love like you and love me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk birth into eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the
Hallelujah, you call my name. all sing out your praise. A bed in my shame when a fountain of grace was running my way. I know I am yours and I was made for more. I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. So what would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace was running my way? I know I am yours and I was made for more. I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace was running my way? I know I am yours and I was made for more.
Amen. Hey, take a moment to greet each other, not just your neighbor. I think we got time. Everyone, even those Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you. Nice job. Go ahead, keep greeting. It's okay. Now there's a brave man. Yeah, okay. I appreciate the band singing that song. That's one of my favorite songs right now on the radio. It's got quite a meaning, and I know there are some people who don't like newer songs. They just repeat, they repeat, they repeat. But hey, you know, we also hear that we're going to be singing "Holy, Holy, Holy." That's a repetition. So I think it's what's in the heart, not what's coming out of the mouth necessarily, because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. So do we have any praises that we want to share? Praises, prayer requests. Crickets, crickets. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Yes, good, okay.
There's several from Zoom this morning. Marlene asked for prayer that she said she's having some issues related to the heart procedure she had this week.
Oh, okay.
And also, there's word that most of the Cole family is currently under the weather, so prayers for them.
Okay.
And then for our family, tomorrow up at CIA, there's a big career fair that they have once a semester, and the kids go and try to make contacts and inroads towards future internships. And so just prayers that Nathan would make some good connections and that God would sort of put people in his life and they interact well, and he maybe starts to get steps towards an internship.
Yeah. Okay. Any others? Then let's pray. Father, we come to you again in prayer, just taking a moment to think about how you have interacted with us through this week. We thank you for being a vital, critical, faithful part of our life, part of our daily living. We know that you're with us all the time, and we confess that there are times that we forget about that we don't think about you, that we feel like we've got what's in front of us, and we don't even think to talk to you about it. But we thank you that you do watch over us, you do provide for us, you do protect us, you strengthen us, you test us at times. And Father, we have these situations here that we want to lift up to you. We ask that you continue to heal Marlene, touch her with your healing hands, and get her through these complications that she's dealing with, these issues that are a result of her heart procedure. We thank you that heart procedure is done and that it went successfully, and now there are these issues you know all about, and I just pray that you will help the doctors understand what needs to be done in order to get Marlene through these issues. We want to pray for the Cole family, as it sounds like they're all under the weather. Again, we ask for your healing touch. Just take that virus or flu bug, whatever it might be that's got them down at the moment. I just pray that you would just wipe it out and that it wouldn't continue to be passed from person to person, and that you would just eliminate it, just get rid of it so that they can get back to life as usual. And we pray for the McKelvey family. We pray especially for Nathan, as he is going to be having some good connections made this week, and he has the opportunity to find lots of connections. And we just pray that he will be directed toward a productive internship, toward just the internship that you have in mind for him. And we pray that your will be done there, and that you would put people in his path who can help him and can mentor him and just be friends with him to get him through this stage of his education and this stage of his life. Father, I know that there are a lot of people who are sick, and I pray that you would watch over them as well, help them to get to a state where they're beyond their infirmities, and that they would be able to return to their lives as normal as well. And these are all physical ailments, Father. I pray, though, too, for those who are sick in their heart, that they don't recognize that there is a problem, a heart problem, that they don't know you. And I pray, Lord, that you will use us to be your mouthpieces for family, for friends, for those people that we come in contact with. Give us the wisdom, give us the courage, give us the words to share your gospel, to share your message with the people that we run into and that you place in our path. Some of us don't have experience at it. We feel like we're not worthy or we're not able, but we know that with your help, we can get it done. And so we just ask for that. We ask for your help in that. We thank you for the way you watch over us and provide for us. And we thank you for that provision in the form of an income. And Father, we know that it all came from you. And so giving a portion back shouldn't be a burden. We give it back as a token of worship, recognizing that you want the first fruits of our labor. And we give it to you and ask you to accept it and to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom and your church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I guess it's time for children's church. So they're already back there? Okay. So if anybody, yes, okay. So children's church is going on. So if you want to join, jump in. Give me a second here. And so I have a message for you. I want you to know that mon Dieu est bon et son amour dure éternellement. Huh? I would imagine many, if not all of you, did not understand that. And even if you know French, I might not have said it quite right. but you have no idea what I said. It's meaningless to you. It was truth. It's a message of knowledge for you, but it's not meaning anything to you. You feel like it's foolishness. It doesn't even have to be a different language. I remember as a child, when I was hearing the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why wouldn't I want him? You know, I could never understand why we said that until someone pointed out and I got to see like a different translation and so forth. Oh, there's a comma, or oh, it means something else completely. But when you don't understand, messages can be just totally worthless and sound totally foolish. And that's what Paul's been talking about as he's been writing this letter to the Corinthians. And he's telling them about how he has a message and he's sharing it with the world and how he is sharing it with them. And what he preached to them was truth. And what he teaches to other people is truth, but that they don't necessarily understand it. They think it's foolishness. And so he gave the point that when he comes and he talks to them and he preaches to them, he doesn't preach with big words, and he doesn't preach like the famous orators of the time who would speak very eloquently. And it sounds like he knew how to speak the rhetoric that they spoke. He certainly had the method under his belt. He knew what he was doing. But when he preached in the synagogue, when he preached to the church, to the people, he didn't use those big words. He wasn't trying to impress anybody with his speech. He just wanted to share the message with them. But many people heard his message as foolishness. And again, it's because they didn't understand. We've got three levels here that really come into play. There's knowledge. I just shared a bit of knowledge with you, a fact, but I did it in a different language. He's sharing knowledge. There's this whole book that's full of knowledge, full of statements, full of truth. But when people read it, they read it differently. And I don't just mean different translations. I mean some people read it and see it. They see it as foolishness. They see it as a fantasy, as a crutch, as just some kind of fantastic story, a novel, whatever. Where others of us will read it and see great truth and see things that we need to apply to our lives. And so we've got knowledge at one level, and then the next level is understanding, actually knowing what is being said, and then how to apply it, and that's when it becomes wisdom. So Paul's been talking about how he's giving this message, and it's not the earthly wisdom that most people want to portray. And so, as I said last week, we want to be careful. It's not that he's talking about how none of us should strive to be wise, none of us should strive to be smart. Certainly gaining knowledge is a good thing. And so he follows up today, letting us know the other side of this, that while it sounds like he's been talking about wisdom isn't useful because it's all been earthly, he comes along with a but, in a way here. So we're continuing on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And we're starting in verse 6, where it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." So he says there are some people who get it, some people who have had the understanding. They're at the level of wisdom because they've taken this knowledge and they understood it. It's a message of wisdom among the mature. And so they're mature enough that they got it. Now, this is referring to those who follow Christ. This is talking about Christians as opposed to those people who are not Christians. He says, not the wisdom of this age, which he's been talking about, not the wisdom of the rulers of this age, which he's been talking about, and those rulers who are coming to nothing, it says. Those we talked about before who are being destroyed, those who are who are being destroyed, perishing. That's the word I was trying to come up with. Those who are perishing. And he says, "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery." And when we say mystery, that doesn't mean the type of thing where you don't have any idea, like there, nobody can figure it out. This is other translations use secret wisdom here. And that's why I gave it the title for our sermon, Secret Wisdom. This is wisdom that has been revealed. He says that it's a mystery, that's a secret wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. There's so much we could do even with this verse, just the idea of before time began, how God, it's so hard for us to even understand how God can have existed before anything else existed, and just how he just was out of nowhere, just existed. He just is and has always been. But then even to think that not only did he just exist, but he had all the wisdom he needed in order to create a universe and to create all those components of the universe. And it's amazing. But he's got that much wisdom, and he's been holding this wisdom as a secret until just the right time. He's destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers, verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, you had this, they had this bit of knowledge, this not a bit of knowledge, a lot of knowledge. They had all this knowledge. And if they could have understood it and have had the wisdom that comes with it, they would have known not to crucify Jesus. Now, we can get into a theological debate about whether it was meant to happen and all that sort of thing. But his point is, if they knew who they were dealing with, they wouldn't have killed him. However, he says, as it's written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And there's a lot of people who misinterpret this as he's talking about heaven. That's not what it means here. Now, you could make it sound like that, and I've talked before about exegesis versus eisegesis. If exegesis is what we do, we want to pull the meaning from the words rather than decide a meaning and then make it force it in there. But we know it's not talking about heaven, because the very next verse, verse 10, says, these are the things God has revealed to us. He hasn't revealed heaven to us. He's given us some hints about what it's like. But he hasn't revealed heaven. No, our eyes have not seen heaven. So that's not, he's talking about these things, this secret wisdom that has been hidden. The secret wisdom, it's the idea that not everybody understands, not everybody knows what is going on. I know, I thought about there's secret wisdom in our family. When we get together with our kids and their spouses, many times the conversation ends up going to all these quotes all of a sudden. They're back and forth, and they each know what they're talking about. It's usually because they are quoting things from the show The Office. They know The Office very well. They know the episodes. They know the quotes. And Vicky and I are just kind of like looking at each other. But we're happy that they're getting along so well. But we have no idea what they're talking about. That's their secret wisdom. Now, if we wanted to talk about football and you wanted to start talking about A gaps and B gaps and nickel defenses and this and that, now there's some of them that would know, but that, again, would be secret wisdom. I remember when I was reenacting, I had my officer who wanted to present me to his officer, which was the general. He wanted to take me, and we were going to have a conversation, and I think he was kind of presenting me almost like a father presenting his son. And as we're talking a little bit, next thing I know, the general asks me, he says, "Are you a traveler?" And I think I know what he meant by that, but I wasn't totally sure. And even if I did know what he was talking about, I'm not one. But he could tell as soon that the fact that I didn't answer right away, he knew that I wasn't in on that secret wisdom. The other gentlemen knew, they were talking, and they continued on. But there's the secret wisdom. There are times when we're just not in the know. And that's what he's talking about here, that this secret wisdom was something that many people, that there were some people who understood, these ones, the mature that he's referred to, they are in on this secret wisdom, but not these ones that have the earthly wisdom. And he says in verse 10 again, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit." By his Spirit. Jesus had told us in the Gospel of John, it's recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus had said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." A chapter later, in that same Gospel, Jesus again said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." And then one chapter later, still in the Gospel of John, "But when he," Jesus is still talking, "but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the person who can help you understand, who can translate for you. If we had someone here, and I'm not sure, it looks like I saw indication that maybe there's at least one person here that knows French, because I could see them trying to figure out what I was saying. But if we had someone here who could interpret what I said, because again, maybe I just didn't say it right. I enjoy French. I had a lot of French, but I don't live French. So, but if there was an advocate here, someone to help you, an interpreter, they would have told you that I said, "My God is good and his love endures forever." And you, "Oh, okay. I get it now." Then you've got the understanding, and then you know how to apply that, how that can affect your life, and then it becomes wisdom. You live with that wisdom. That's the same thing here. It was all this knowledge, all this information, all this truth, and it's when the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, helps you understand what is being seen, that's when you gain wisdom. And I don't think it happens just once. Think about how many times you've read maybe the same story or the same set of verses, and you read them over and over and over. And you go back and you read, maybe there's a period of time gone, and you go back and you're reading that same verse again, and all of a sudden something else jumps out at you. You gain new understanding. That's the Holy Spirit sitting there helping you. Continuing in verse 10, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." All the kids are gone, right? I was going to have them help. Is there still? No, you don't have any back there? Okay, so who's the youngest? No, I'm just kidding. So here's what we're going to do. So this is where I was going to look for some audience participation, and I was actually going to have the kids help count. Okay, yeah, they're signaling back there. Yeah, the kids will come out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the next six verses 10 through 5. Hey guys, just going to use your help with something, because I want the adults to see just how important the Holy Spirit is. And Paul is using these verses. He's got six verses 10 through 15. And I'm going to read them, but I'm going to stop and I'm going to pause. I want you guys out here, all of the adults, to read The Spirit. Every time Spirit, the word Spirit comes up, the name Spirit. I shouldn't say word. This is a person. The name Spirit. So, if it was written up there and it said in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy, I would pause. There you go. Yeah, you would say the name. Okay. Now, what I want you to do is every time you hear the adults say Spirit, I want you to start counting, because when we're done, I want you to show me how many times they said the name Spirit, okay? All right, so let's get started. We're in verse 10. We're still in verse 10. And he said, Paul says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his
Spirit.
The
Spirit.
And we've already got two. Searches all things, even the deep things of God. For he knows a person's thoughts. Now, I got the little S's. So he knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them. A spirit, that's our own little spirit. We're not counting that one. It's only the name, the big S, okay? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the
Spirit
of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the
Spirit
who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the
Spirit,
explaining spiritual realities with
Spirit
taught words. The person without the
Spirit
does not accept the things that come from the
Spirit
of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Okay, we got one more. Give it a good one. The person with the
Spirit
makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. How many times did they say the name Spirit?
Ten.
Yeah, look what you're doing. You're praising. Yeah, 10 times. 10 times you guys said this name Spirit. Thank you very much. Thanks for your help. 10 times. The name Spirit, not the word Spirit, the name Spirit. It's a person. It's a he. It's a he. It's a person. The Spirit. Obviously, Paul thinks he, the Spirit, is very important. So let me go back and just pick out certain things here. He's talking about how the Spirit teaches. Who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? Our wives know us pretty well. They can look at us and say, what's wrong, honey? And our answer is always, nothing. But they know. But they know there's something wrong, but they don't know enough. They don't know exactly what we're thinking or what's wrong. Only our own spirit knows exactly what we're thinking. But look at this. This is the exciting part. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. God has his Spirit as well, who knows his thoughts. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. He's living in us so that we may understand what God has freely given us. We get to understand God because we have his Spirit in us, and Spirit knows his thoughts. I mean, our wives would love to have our Spirit in them so they know, so that... Yes, yeah, I figured that. Because we just don't share. God is sharing. God is sharing. He's perfect model husband. He shares his spirit with us so that we understand. He says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. And I think he's probably referencing the fact that any of those speakers, especially any of those Jewish leaders, Jewish teachers, they would always learn under a certain rabbi. And that rabbi learned under a certain rabbi. And so if Rabbi What's-His-Name has a couple of students, and Rabbi So-and-So is one of those students, and that rabbi starts to get some students, he would always refer back to Rabbi What's-His-Name. Rabbi What's-His-Name says this, 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 this. And Rabbi What's-His-Name says this, 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 this. And then, so then those students, as they move on, they would start referencing Rabbi So-and-So says this, this. There was always this human wisdom that was being passed down. They're always referencing someone else. We don't reference someone else. We do reference a person. We reference God, but not an earthly, not a man, not a human person, except Jesus. Boy, I'm getting myself into a hole here. But So, not taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The Spirit is responsible for the writing of this book, and the Spirit is also responsible for us understanding the book. I thought about some of the books that are on my bookshelves. I have quite a few books from one of the scholars that I like to follow is a gentleman by the name of N.T. Wright. The fact that he's a New Testament scholar, he's pretty well renowned, pretty well known. But he's written those books, and I sit down and I start reading those books. How exciting, how thrilling would it be if all of a sudden someone made an appointment for me that when I was going to read one of his books, he would sit there with me and start explaining exactly what he meant. Well, that would be pretty thrilling. That would be super exciting for me. What's even more exciting for all of us is to know that as we read this scripture, as we're reading these words, the person who wrote them is right there with us and helping us to understand what we're reading. He's the author and he's the interpreter for us. And that's pretty exciting. The person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit but considers them foolishness. They don't understand. They've only got knowledge. They've only got the facts. They haven't gone to that level of understanding to make it knowledge. They can't understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. They're able to make these decisions because they have the full set of wisdom that they need. Excuse me, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? None of us understand enough about what's going on. We don't have the level of wisdom that God has. And then Paul has his mic drop moment. He just finishes up here. But we have the mind of Christ. And he walks off, in a sense, in my mind. We have the mind of Christ. So the point is that we have the words written by the Spirit. We have what we call the Word of God. We have the mind of Christ. And we have the understanding given to us by the Advocate, by the Holy Spirit. When you put all those things together, that's ultimate wisdom, and that's ultimate understanding. But the way to show that we have understanding and that we have wisdom and we have godly wisdom is through our actions. And that's why our final hymn, and it just give me a second, but our final hymn is Trust and Obey. The idea that, yeah, we can say we have faith. Yeah, we can say we understand. We say that we have the wisdom. But we've got to prove it. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 17 say this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such so-called wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It's very active. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who has written, who has inspired this to be written, who's the author of our Bible, but also our interpreter, our advocate in understanding. Help us, Lord, to apply what we understand. Make it wisdom, make it active wisdom. Help us to not just be hearers and listeners and understanders of this word, but doers. doers of godly wisdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to stand if you're able, and let's sing our final hymn, Trust. So as you leave here with your godly wisdom being demonstrated by trusting and obeying, may the Lord bless you and protect you, and may his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.